Brilliance Audio.
Good Night from Paris by Jane Healy. Performed by Christina Klebe. When I walked out of my apartment building on Rue Saint-Dominique, I nearly collided with my neighbor, the elderly Madame Vachon. She was returning from a walk with her two enthusiastic black-and-white papillons, Oscar and Titou, so I held the door for her, almost getting tangled in the little dog's leather leashes. It was a crisp October afternoon, and I had decided to bike to Les Deux Magots to meet Elise, my agent in France. With my hair tucked under a navy blue beret and my windbreaker over my dress to protect me from the autumn breeze, I rode through my adopted city, reminded at every turn why it had captivated Americans like me for centuries. From the picturesque bridges crossing the Seine to the cream-colored apartment buildings with their matching balconies and mansard roofs, to the ornate street signs. And then there was my favorite part of Paris. The cafes on almost every block, their terraces crammed with Parisians sitting together around tiny wrought iron tables, sharing drinks and cigarettes. Though just beneath the gorgeous facade lurked the palpable tension of a city whose citizens were on edge, clutching their gas masks everywhere they went. You could see it in the expressions of many of the patrons sitting at the cafes, the worry in their eyes, the serious conversations about a brother or son who had gone to war, or about the recent air raids and blackouts. And the topic that was on every Parisian's mind, whether to leave the city for the coast or someplace of relative safety, or stay in the capital. And since my husband, Jacques, had left, I too had been dealing with this question, as well as my own feelings of heartache and anxious worry. The brilliant, handsome Frenchman, Jacques Tartiere, had been my adoring husband since the previous summer. Paris had been our home together for just over a year. But in mid-September, after being turned down by the French army due to his weak lungs, Jacques had accepted a role as a liaison for the British troops arriving in Brittany. And now that he was gone, I felt like a foreigner again, alone and adrift. An unemployed expatriate who spoke heavily accented French. Jacques had been my anchor to this city and this new life. I desperately needed something else to ground me here while he was away. Today, I hoped Elise might have the answer. The café Les Deux Magots was in the charming Saint-Germain-des-Prés district. Opened in 1885, it was one of Paris's oldest cafes, and since 1933 had become a bastion of cultural life in Paris, and a favorite spot for both famous and unknown artists and writers. Jacques had taken me to Deux Magots on one of our first warm summer evenings together. Sitting at an outside table at dusk, we had lingered for hours enjoying la cuisine, a popular apéritif, watching the people passing by, and basking in our newlywed glow.
"Do you recognize that man over there? The one with the pale blue shirt?" Jacques whispered in my ear, nodding to a crowded table of people on the opposite side of the café. They were all smoking cigarettes and had gone through several bottles of red wine. The man he was referring to was small and compact, with a receding hairline and large, intense eyes.
"I do, but I can't place him," I said. "Who is he?"
"Pablo Picasso," Jacques said,
running his fingers down my arm in a way that made me shiver.
"Oh, yes, of course," I said. "Fascinating, and he's just sitting there holding court, enjoying his friends."
"Would you like to meet him?" he asked.
Jacques was acquainted with many in the artist community in Paris.
"I am sure he would love to meet you. He loves to meet beautiful women."
"Maybe another time," I said, grabbing his hand, putting my other hand on his cheek. "I'm quite content with just you tonight, my darling."